Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this radio program, which we affectionately call Satsang, is for Sunday, April the 23rd, 2017, and I'm very grateful to be with you. We're going to talk about religion, very big subject for people. If you are enjoying these radio programs, which I assume you are because you're listening, I hope that you will consider becoming a sponsor, because it is only through your tax-deductible gifts that we are able to sustain and make these programs. You have to pay for airtime and everything else that goes along with that. So I hope you will consider being a sponsor. And for your sponsorship, if you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see media. If you pull that down, you will see Satsang with Siraj, that to be me. And you can sign up there, look at all past radio programs that I have. And then if you move over to Why Support Aspire under support, you will find out where your donations go, how important they are, and you can sign up from there as well. You can even email me and ask a question. So it's all there for you on the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And I hope you will avail yourself of this and help us. Sustaining a program of this nature is a very difficult thing, as you might imagine, because we don't do the typical stuff that most people do to con you into thinking that you've done the right thing. We support humankind through spirituality. That's what it's all about. And helping people awaken to their spirituality, which is, well, actually the biggest issue we have in humankind, no matter what. We're just not kind enough and loving enough to be with each other. And that is an issue, a big issue. So I hope you will support Aspire as we try to help people who are of like mind. Talking about money and stuff, it's uncomfortable, isn't it? Yeah, I know. Don't take it personally. All right, here it is, religion. What is a religion? What is it founded on? Look at it for a moment. What is your religion? Everyone has some religion, okay? Everybody. I have religion in me, just like you have religion in you. Religion is more than philosophy. It has a lot to do with beliefs about philosophy. Religion has become kind of a passé in certain ways in our culture, in our society, but still there are lots of religions out there, lots of things that even this country was based on. And if you look up the word religion, it really is more about cultural systems and behaviors and practices and sacred texts based in some anarchy of social organizations that create the existence of sacred things, divine things, festivals, sacrifices, wow, memorials, prayer, meditation, music, art, dance, even that is in there. When we're talking about religion, we're talking about the totality of what a person basically believes in. And people have to have religion. Even though all of us say, you know, I'm not in religion, I'm an atheist, people will say that. Even that's a religion. Everything points to some kind of religion that we have to believe in to get us through this life experience, or to rationalize our evil in this life experience. So here's, you know, where it is. This is the way people believe. People need a God. And so I took three questions that have been rolling around in my inbox for a while, and I hope in some way I'm able to help. That's all I really want to do is help. So here's the first question from Ken. In he says he's from Livermore, California. How do we know if you are right, Greg? What if you are as wrong as all the other people are in religion, Ken? It's a good question, Ken. How do I know I'm right? Well, maybe it's because I don't have dualistic thinking. I'm not into religion. Religion tells you what to believe in, how to believe in it, why you should believe in it. Religion dictates to you. I am not dictating anything. I am not dictating scriptures or anything like that. I love to quote Jesus because I think he was beautiful. I love Buddha because I think he was beautiful. I love Lao Tzu because he was beautiful. I love them because of their wisdom and their beauty that came from it. It emulates from them. But mine is not a cause for rightness. That's the difference. I'm not into right. I'm into methodology. It is the method that brings you to the moment. So if you have moments within you where you are practicing some of the methods that I am offering to you through meditation, Tibetan pulsing, etc., then you have something significant. And I want to bring significance to your life, not religion. I am not interested in whether or not the Bible is authentic, which I don't think it is. I don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God either. I don't believe in any of that stuff. The Bible is a scripture. How much of it is accurate and translated accurately? Well, to be honest with you, nobody really knows. If you're going to read the Bible, you have to read the Aramaic version of it and the Hebrew version of it, and it gets pretty complicated. And you have to understand people thought different in those days. They had different customs and beliefs and systems, and they had a vocabulary that was much smaller than our own. So they had to paint pictures. So, you know, you got to give leeway to all of that and look at it as a piece of art, a part of archaeological findings, as it were. You don't look at it as the way to build your life. You don't know about any of these people that wrote these books in the Bible. You know nothing about them. I know nothing about them. We know a little bit here, a little bit there, and then there's assumptions and all sorts of things. You can't go by that. Ken, I'm not pushing religion. I'm not even pushing philosophy. I'm pushing direct experience. Are you going to have a direct experience? I am offering you methods in meditation, Tibetan pulsing, that is purely a method of how to have the direct experience. And if I have had it, anyone can have it. I am no special person at all. I'm not even barely unique. I'm none of those things. And yet, I have found such uniqueness, such beauty, such insight through the methods that I am offering to you in Tibetan Pulsing. So understand, I am not here to create a religion, and I'm not about right. I'm really not. I tell my students, you know, we're working on this idea of overcoming the process of birth and death, to come into a place where we do not live to die and we do not die to live, where we are in the ebb and flow of the meaning that sustains everything in life. Now, this is probably too, I hate to say this, too deep for a lot of people. And it isn't deep at all. Believe me, it is not. But we have become very shallow human beings based on the whole idea of wanting to have what we want and living for what we want. We just live for what we want and have what we want and think we should have what we want. And that's as far as it ever goes. So we don't sustain anything too meaningful in our life. We really don't. What we need to do, what we need to recognize, what needs to happen here is that there must be a method of direct experience where you can have the experience that is most necessary for you in your life. The thing that is most important for you in your life. And that's all I'm about. So Ken, if you explore the website at aspire.org, you'll see I'm teaching insight. I'm teaching what kind of blocks insight. I'm teaching about why our psychology is obsessive and compulsive. I am not giving you the philosophy that religion does. Yes, I talk about reincarnation, but that's my gig. You don't have to believe in that. You really don't. You don't have to believe in anything I say. But if you practice the meditations that I offer, you will come to your own direct experience. And that's all I really care about, is that you have your own. And once you've had that, that will be enough. Trust me, that will be more than enough. So there you are, my friend. I hope that helps you. Ken, please forgive me. Namaste. I never want to sound religious to you. I really don't. And my students know me very well, so they know I don't do religion. I couldn't do it. It's funny because people need religion. We have the religion. The first religion, of course, is politics. The second religion in our country is our sociology and our sociopathic ways of living. And then it gets down the line to how we worship money and objects and wealth and ease and comfort. And then way down at the bottom, we use religion to whitewash all of this. And that's about as far as we go. I do not do any of that kind of thing. None of it. I'm not even remotely interested in it, nor am I well schooled in it. So I wouldn't know how to do it anyway. So that's that. All right, the next one comes from Glenn. He does not tell me where he lives. You are so odd, Greg. I've watched your videos and listened to a couple of your radio programs. How do you even exist being as odd as you are? You teach counterculture. Do you do this on purpose, Glenn? Glenn, I am the oddest person you have ever met. It is very difficult to insult me. It is very difficult to talk to me, I suppose, when a person holds preconceived notions about me or anyone else or anything else. I am without concept, and that's what's bothering you about me. I am without the idea of this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. When you are teaching non-duality, when a person is teaching meditation, when a person is teaching spiritual awakening, they have to say and even do things that are kind of out of the box to make the point. Now, that doesn't mean it makes the point with everyone, and evidently I haven't made that point with you, so there's that. But the whole idea of life is more than trying to peddle a religion or a philosophy. I don't talk much about the things that people expect me to talk about, which makes me odd. So when I am talking about inner awakening, inner awareness, this sounds odd to the person who has never had any experience with it. But all I'm asking you is, would you be interested in having an experience about your life, the totality of you, that exceeds what it is you think you understand and believe in? Would you be willing to have that? That could be something extremely moving, beautiful. It could be something that jumps out at you and says, yes, 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 instead of no, no, no. Yeah, I know I'm odd. I don't mean to be counterculture. I really don't. I don't sit there and look at the culture and think, well, I think I'll go counter. I have much better things to do than that. But the funny part is what I'm living and how I'm teaching it to my students in order to help them is counterculture. It is difficult to understand from the pedestrian point of view. So you have to have a different kind of mind. You have to have a different kind of motivation. You have to be motivated to want to know that which exceeds your intellect and your thoughts about what is right and wrong, good and bad. The essence of my teachings in the beginning is non-duality, not pitting one thought against another, not pitting one idea against another idea. That's all it is, non-duality in the beginning. And once you are able to sustain non-duality within your practice, within your meditation, you will start to be able to sustain it as you go into this world, into your daily life. As you do that, a clarity begins to happen. You become magnificently clear. Your mind is no longer getting in the way with its moralistic point of view or its rationale or its philosophy or its idea of religion. I mean, have you ever noticed that people constantly need a leader? The biggest leader, of course, is God. And then you have in the West, Jesus. And then you have the president and the government. And none of these things are helping you. Not one of them. You're still growing old, getting sick, and you're going to die. None of these things are helping you. So all these things do is rationalize your evil and make things very difficult for you. And when that occurs, when I'm doing that kind of thing, that's when I have my deepest difficulties. So why go there? Why do any of that? Why get involved? Why not start to understand the nature of your life, how you live, the way you live, what is important to you? Why not find out what is the causation of your entire life? And rather than getting involved in the idea of who's right, who's wrong, who's odd, who's not, seek the way. Put aside all this horse manure and seek the way. No matter what is going on, just seek it. Now, if you do something like that, you have come to a place where real love can reach you, where you can be mindful. And it's all about love. So, Glenn, the culture is about hate and fear. We sell hate. We sell fear. It's big commodity, it's big business, and it works on most people. It really does. I'm not selling hate, and I'm not selling fear. I'm trying to offer to you the methods that would create love in your life, the meaning of love in your life. And if I can do something like that for you, if I can offer you that method, then odd or not, I am very grateful for whatever it is I can do to serve you in that way. That's all I really care about. I'm not here peddling philosophy that there is a God that knows better than you, and God's will is stronger than your own, and you have to, sustain deep sorrows like child being born dead or your child being killed or something like that. God has a plan for you. No, there is no plan for you. None. You set into motion, I set into motion everything that is happening. And people don't want to believe that because they need someone to be in charge. A God, a Congress, a president, a boss at work. A cop on the street. We need people to tell us to be decent to each other. That's all we are about. How can we be decent to each other? So it's sad to say that all of that has to be legislated, but sad to say it is true. What I am offering to you, Glenn, well, is counterculture. Love is counterculture. That's a really ugly and difficult thing to say, but it is so very true. Love is counterculture. So sad to say, so true in practice. So if you really want to know what it's about, that's it, baby. I hope I helped you in some way. Please, please excuse me and forgive me. Namaste. Everybody wants me to be somebody. All right, here's the last question from Larry. And he's in Arizona. Why do you and religion teach there is a God and a Jesus? Larry. Well, Larry, I don't do the God thing. I've had to in my career, and you know, to relate to people, I guess, talk about a supreme being, something that is the source of it all. In later years of my life here, I have strayed far away from talking about it. It isn't that it isn't there. It's just that when you use the word God, a whole slew of crazy things enter into the minds of people. And some of that is really detrimental to the human being of us. It really is. You know, if God's in control, he's doing a really bad job and he needs to be voted off the island. Okay? He really is. And if it's a guy, it's really, really bad. And if it's a woman, it's typical. So, you know, you can get into this tongue in cheek and have some fun with it. It's horrible to even talk about the word God. But sometimes to relate to people, as Jesus tried to relate to people, he had to use a word. And I understand why he did what he did and the way he did what he did and what that all means. I really do understand it. But it can't be taken literally. The true essence of God is pure love. That's what Jesus said. God is love. And I can buy that. Absolute love. I can't buy the Christian God, the Jewish God, the whoever God. I just, you know, God is a tricky word, okay? Very tricky. And I try not to fall into it. So I talk about the all. I like how Jesus talked about God as the all in the Gnostic Gospels, which really are the ones that I feel are the most pertinent to all of us in the course of our spiritual unfoldment. So I go there. You have to first understand that. That's kind of my main premise. Now you ask about Jesus. Jesus plays third base there. You know, what people will say to me, how do we even know Jesus existed? I've heard this. It's a stupid argument, and it's done by those who live defensively inside and already have an agenda that they don't want to listen to Jesus. He's counterculture. Jesus is annoying. He is really annoying. If you look at his life, here's this guy who comes in called the Son of God, which, you know, he never said. He called himself the Son of Man, which is another way of saying I'm a human being. And he comes in and he talks about love, and yet he does some things that don't look like love. Turning over the temple, riding in on a donkey, mocking Caesar. He did some really outrageous things in order to get his point across. So, you know, I don't care if anyone believes in Jesus. I really don't. And I don't care if you believe in God. I really don't. What I am most interested in is the direct experience. And Jesus offers teachings that are the direct experience of living in the nature of love as love itself. And you can call it God or not. I don't care. How to live in love through compassion, how to understand the nature of karma, how to understand the give and take of life. He who hath more is given. He who hath not, even that which he has, is taken away. These teachings are universal. They are about the universe. They are not about a personal God like everybody wants to make it. So there you are. I got to go. I'm running out of time. I could go on and on with this, but I can't. Larry, if I didn't give your question enough time, email me and we'll go from there and I'll do some more on you. I promise. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. I hope this helped you. I really do. And if it didn't, send me some emails. Let me know what more you want me to cover and I'll do my very best to serve you. Have a beautiful day. And once again, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.